This morning, let's take our Bibles, if you would, and we're going to turn in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. All right, Colossians, chapter number 2. In Sunday school, we have been dealing with false religions confronting those who have perverted the gospel of Christ. It is very important for us to understand that there is only one truth. If there are two churches that are dealing, that are teaching the opposite truth, they cannot both be right. It cannot be. Now that's important. And really the growing concern I have is we know that in the last days there's going to be a religious movement that's going to form a one world church. Now that's important to consider because under the Antichrist, the earth is going to be very religious. And so I believe that what we need to be concerned about is not the atheistic movement of the world. It's the religious movement of the world. And the fact that all of those religions really are all in the same, that they contradict the truth of the Word of God. Now we dealt first with the Roman Catholic Church. And we saw that the Roman Catholic Church, who holds the Bible, we know that they've added tradition to the Word of God. As Galatians 1 mentions, they've perverted the gospel of Christ. They've added works to salvation. They've placed people in bondage by their rituals. We talked about the seven sacraments and all those things. But there's something interesting as we study false religions, and we're staying, if you would, within Christendom. So we're staying with those who hold the Word of God, and they say we are Bible believers. We are Christians, per se. And so we dealt with the Roman Catholic Church, which is really the largest movement within Christendom. But now I want to deal with perhaps the most, or one of the most zealous of those groups, and that is the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so we're going to deal with the first lesson this morning, and I have a subtitle for the Jehovah's Witness. It is this: Russell's Philosophy and Vain Deceit. Now, I want you to notice Colossians chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading in verse 4, if you would. Colossians 2, verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and notice, and not after Christ. For in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I propose to you this morning, as we take a look at the organization called the Jehovah's Witnesses, that we are really dealing with the philosophy of men, as he mentions here, that we can be beguiled but with enticing words. The Bible talks about in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, it is important for us to address this group because out of all the groups that I know, they are the most zealous to propagate their doctrine. As a matter of fact, I remember speaking on occasions, and typically, if I don't do this all the time, but if I'm out on the street and I see Jehovah's Witnesses on the same street, I'll go up to them, okay? And the reason I do that is because they need to be confronted, because we have the truth. And I think that there are times that as we are on the street evangelizing, speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, I certainly don't want to see other people come. And I remember, and actually I have had that said several times by Jehovah's Witnesses, well, most of our converts are Baptists. Now, that's what they said. And my reply was simply this: well, these Baptists did not know the Bible. The truth is, they are very zealous in propagating their doctrine. They are, they emphasize Bible study, and the people that fit under the realm of Jehovah's Witnesses are very dedicated to the cause. And we'll talk a little bit about them. But we see that in the latter half of the 19th century, there are many false religions that have been raised to a place of prominence. Those would include the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Pentecostal Latter Rain, as it was called, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. All of these groups claimed, and really they have the same claim, that Christianity had lost its way and had corrupted, and now God was reclaiming what was lost. And really, that's the idea of all of those groups, saying that, look, Christianity is corrupt. God, through a vision or through a word, through a revelation to a specific man, has spoken and said, look, let's bring back true Christianity. Now, the Bible gives us a clear warning about false teachers. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let's look at a few words here. 2 Peter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Could I have someone read that? Anybody this morning? Brother Wagner, you have that?
Yeah.
Good. Several things I want to point out in our text. Notice, he says that there's going to be false teachers among you that are going to bring in, notice, damnable heresies. And what the Jehovah's Witnesses have brought is damnable heresies. Denying Jesus Christ and his deity. Denying the doctrine of hell. And some things that are there. These are damnable heresies. He mentions later, he says that many shall follow their pernicious ways. And truly, really in the last 150 years, there's been really a surge among false religions where people have followed those false doctrine. And we see, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And so it is not that they just contend for their faith and propagate their faith. It is that they attack the doctrine of the Bible. They attack Jesus Christ. They attack the Word of God. They attack those things. And so we must be very aware of that. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses should properly be coined as a false religion, for they have brought in damnable heresies. They have turned people away from the truth. They have spoken evil of the way of truth as revealed in the Word of God. Their vilest error is what they teach about Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses take their name from Isaiah 43, verse 10 through 11, which in truth is a reference to Israel, but they call themselves that. Isaiah 43, 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now, they take their name from this passage, but I make it a point when I meet Jehovah's Witnesses, I call them not Jehovah's Witnesses. I say, oh wait, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a witness of Jehovah. But what you are is a Russellite. Okay, you are following the teaching and the doctrine of Charles Stays Russell. Okay, now that's important because it points to their origination and it points to a body of truth that is foreign to the Bible. Now, let me read you a few things that shows kind of for you a little bit about the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a centralized leadership with the congregation closely directed from the headquarters in New York City. So they have headquarters. The Jehovah's Witnesses are very aggressive in promoting their belief with churches and missionaries throughout the world. The witness for the organization is considered a necessary part of one's salvation. And so people get plugged into that, and they have to fulfill a certain amount of hours on a weekly and a monthly basis to attain a specific position. Every Jehovah's Witness is expected to go witnessing at least once a week and must turn in a report. Individual witnesses are called publishers. They spend an average of 4 hours per week in this work. Full-time preachers give at least 90 hours per month to proclaiming the Jehovah's Witness faith. There are 700,000 of these. In 2000, Jehovah's Witnesses spent 1.1 billion hours in various evangelistic activities in 235 countries, including the distribution of over 700 million pieces of printed material and thousands of audio and video cassettes. It takes many hours to produce one convert. In Japan, and this is their estimation, in Japan, it takes 17,415 hours are required for every baptism. In Canada, 8,195 hours are required. In Germany, 7,042 hours. In Russia, 2,416. In India, 2,312 hours are required for baptism. Their meeting house are called Kingdom Halls. Each hall divides its community into sectors and assigns the sectors to individual witnesses. They have five meetings per week as follows. On Sunday, they usually have two services. One is called the public talk, during which an elder gives a sermon or talk. After they usually have a watchtower study. The watchtower is their publication where they get all their doctrine, which is a lesson based on an article currently in the Watchtower magazine. During a weekday, they have a theocratic ministry school, which is devoted to practice in witnessing. They teach the witnesses how to answer challenges and questions that they typically encounter, find while door knocking. Following this, they usually have the service meeting. This involves training in matters pertaining to the congregation. The Jehovah's Witnesses have produced an amazing amount of literature. The Watchtower, the official JW Journal, has a circulation of more than 22 million and 129 languages. More than 1 billion Bibles, books, and leaflets have been distributed in at least 176 languages since 1920. There are approximately 6 million Jehovah's Witnesses in 93,000 congregations in 235 countries. The Jehovah's Witness organization is called the Faithful and Discreet Slave of Jehovah and is often called merely the Slave. The Jehovah's Witness organization is called the Mother, just as the Catholic Church. If we are to walk in the light of truth, we must recognize not only Jehovah God as our Father, but His organization as our Mother. So, very Catholic-like. There are many things that we could know about and find out about the Jehovah's Witnesses. But let me mention, first of all, as we deal with this group, is first of all, let's consider the history of the Jehovah's Witness. Now, there are many things that we can consider, but let me mention, first of all, their founders. Charles Stays Russell was the founder of the Jehovah's Witness. And actually, in the beginning of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they were called Russellites. They were followers of Charles Stays Russell. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses originated in America with Charles Stays Russell in 1852. In 1916, Russell previously having been a Presbyterian and then a Congregationalist and then started attending the Seventh-day Adventist churches before becoming and really beginning the Jehovah's Witnesses. In the 1970s, he organized a Bible study, and by 1880, there was 30 congregations following his teaching. In 1879, he began publishing a magazine called The Watchtower, announcing Jehovah's Kingdom. He published his doctrine in six books called Studies in the Scriptures. He claimed to be the seventh messenger that was mentioned in Revelation 10, verse 7, which is prophetic, which is still not yet fulfilled. Russell falsely predicted that Armageddon would occur in 1916. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. His wife divorced him in 1911 because of his immoral relations with other women. Russell claimed that he could read Greek, but in a court of law, he was shown to be a liar and that he could not decipher even the basic Greek alphabet. Now, that's important because often the Jehovah's Witnesses will say something like this. Well, the Greek says this. And I think to myself, they get that back originally from Charles Stays Russell in his Greek studies, and he even didn't even know the Greek alphabet. Okay, that was in a court of law. When Russell died in 1916, he had traveled more than 1 million miles, preached 30,000 times, authored more than 50,000 pages of material. More than 20 million copies of his books and booklets have been distributed. Now, it's amazing to think that someone can come up and really start a false religion claiming to hold to Bible doctrine. The second man that was, I guess, the successor of Charles Stays Russell was Joseph Rutherford. Upon the death of Charles Stays Russell, Joseph Rutherford became the president of the organization until 1942. Under his leadership, the organization grew quickly. In 1931, Rutherford changed the name of the organization to Jehovah's Witnesses. In the early days, they were known as Russellites or Millennial Dawn People and International Bible Students. Rutherford predicted that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be resurrected in 1925, and he built them a mansion, which he occupied when the patriarchs didn't show up. Just thought we'd point that out. Rutherford was also well known to be an alcoholic. Now we point these things out to see that that is the founding of really this religion. Now if we look back to our founding, we find someone clearly different, and that is Jesus Christ and the apostles and the doctrine that was built upon the apostles. And so this is a little summary, and we could spend a lot of time talking about them. There's a good book out there. It's called 20 Questions Jehovah's Witnesses Cannot Answer. And through that, he goes through a brief history by Charles Love. He goes through a brief history of the Jehovah's Witnesses and talks about really how they came to a place of prominence. And really, they're known today as one of the most zealous people. So we see the history of the Jehovah's, and we see their founders, Charles Taze Russell and Joseph Rutherford. But I want to talk secondly about their foundation. Now, it is important as we think about all groups, religious groups, we must always go back and say, what is their authority? What are they basing their doctrine on? That's important. We must ask ourselves this question as well. What do we base our doctrine on? What is it that we have? What is our foundation? Well, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Bible, they say, is inspired of God. We would say we agree with that. But it is a closed book to them, except to Jehovah's remnant who are taught under the Jehovah's Witness organization. And so what they say is that no one can properly understand the Bible unless he is submitted under the organization of the Jehovah's Witness. Now, I want us to consider three problems with their foundation or their source of authority. And I have some slides to show here that I'm going to put here. Again, what I'm doing here is I'm just taking their literature to show you what they say, to show you what is their foundation, their source of authority. I want us to consider, first of all, is there is the interpretation problem. Okay, the interpretation problem. So as this comes up in just a moment, I'll let it load up. It's interesting to know, and I don't know how much experience you've had talking to Jehovah's Witness. I've had quite a bit. And typically when they come to my door, I open the door. typically I just say, I ask him, I say, well, what do you believe about Jesus? And then they tell me, and then I kind of prepare for them. I want them to tell me what they believe, so then I can take out the Bible and show them that it's contradictory to the Bible. And then I tell them I'm a pastor at the end. and that always goes well. And typically they leave very quickly after that. But what they often say is, no, you don't understand. This is what this means. Okay, John 1:1, for example. They talk about interpretation. I want to see here, first of all, this is according to the Watchtower. Now, if you go to the Jehovah's Witnesses website, there's no doctrinal statement. There's no such thing as you would find, for example, on a church website, say, this is our doctrine, this is what we believe, here's the reference for it. What they use as their source of authority is what they call the Watchtower. So all their doctrine comes from this magazine that's published that basically they study. Think about it. As we talk about their weekly schedule, they have a week dedicated, sometime dedicated during the week, where they study the Watchtower. And they learn from the Watchtower. Now, on September 15th, 1910, on page 298, notice here what it says about interpretation. Furthermore, not only do we find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself, but we see also that if anyone lays the scripture studies, that's the writings of Charles Taze Russell, his studies in the scriptures, aside, even after he has used them, after he has become familiar with them, after he has read them for 10 years, if he lays them aside and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, though he has understood his Bible for 10 years, our experience shows that within 2 years, he goes into darkness. Do you know what that means? He says, Without the writings of Charles Sage Russell, you cannot understand the Bible. Without him telling you this is what the Bible says, you cannot understand it for yourself. So again, that is an interpretation problem. They communicate that the people, you cannot understand it unless you come under the organization of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Unless you come under the writings of Charles Stage Russell, the scripture studies that he wrote. They mention, on the other hand, if he had merely read the scripture studies with, now scripture studies is the writings of Charles Stage Russell, with their reference, and had not read a page of the Bible as such, he would be in the light at the end of the 2 years. Think about that. So they say is, if he just reads the studies of Charles Stage Russell, he doesn't even need the Bible. So it comes very apparent to us because he would have the light of the scriptures. So understand, the light of the scriptures only comes through the scripture studies, which is the writings of Charles Stage Russell. With Charles Stage Russell saying, this is what the Bible teaches, and you need me to tell you what it says. So again, that is an interpretation problem. Let's go to the next one, if you would. Here's two more snippets from the first one. Notice the Watchtower, published on October 1st, 1967, on page 587. Thus, notice, the Bible is an organizational book and belongs to the Christian congregation as an organization. The Bible does not belong to people. It belongs to the organization, the Jehovah's Witness, obviously organization, not to individuals, regardless of how sincerely they may believe that they can interpret the Bible. For this reason, the Bible cannot be properly understood without Jehovah's visible organization in mind. And obviously, that organization is the Jehovah's Witness organization. So you see what they say? You cannot interpret the Bible. Only the organization can interpret it. Well, let me ask you this. Who stands at the top of the organization? People. It's not like, you know, it's almost kind of this communication like the Roman Catholic Church, where they have a group of bishops that determines doctrine. It really is the same principle here with the Jehovah's Witnesses. It is the organization itself, and that is people at the top who determine doctrine. Notice another one, published from the Watchtower on December 1st, 1981, on page 27. Jehovah God has also provided his visible organization, his faithful and discreet slave, made up of spirit-anointed ones, okay, so that's the people, spirit-anointed, to help Christians in all nations to understand and apply properly the Bible in their lives, unless we are in touch with this channel of communication that God is using, the organization, we will not progress along the road of life, no matter how much Bible reading we do. So, the requirement of having the organization over people is absolutely necessary for the Jehovah's Witnesses. You cannot interpret the Bible without them. Okay? So we see that that is an interpretation problem. Now, the Word of God is clear concerning the guidance of the Holy Spirit upon the believer. Let's go to 1 John, if you would. Let's go to 1 John. Let's look here. If you would, chapter number 2. And if you notice here, it's interesting, every time I've gone with Jehovah's Witnesses, there's always one you talk to, and there's always the person standing in the back looking through their booklet. And what they're looking for is, whatever you say, there's an answer to according to their book. So understand, what they're doing is, they're not reasoning with you from the scriptures. They're reasoning with you from, well, this is our guided response. It's really a bunch of robots, it's sad to say. It's a bunch of robots regurgitating doctrine that's been given to them. It's not based upon their study of the scriptures. It's based on the material that's been given to them. Here, this is what you respond to this. This is what you respond to this. And that's how they function. I want you to notice 1 John 2, notice verse 20. But ye, he's writing to believers here, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. There you go, believer. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Now how is that possible? Verse 21. For I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? There it is. That's a direct attack on the Jehovah's Witnesses. He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Notice verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Notice verse 27, very important. There are people that are going to come, they're going to try to seduce you. They're going to try to draw you away from the doctrine of Christ. But notice how he encourages the believer, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. You know what that means? You don't have to have Jehovah's Witnesses come and tell you what to believe. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit within you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So who is the one that teaches? The Holy Spirit of God. You see, we know that the Holy Spirit of God is the bearer of truth. He is truth. He speaks the truth. Well, what is the truth? The Word of God is truth. And so understand, remember when Jesus talked to his disciples in John 15 and 16? He said, the Comforter shall come, the Holy Ghost, and he shall guide you into all truth. What we need today is not an organization to guide us in the truth. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the truth. And every believer has an unction from the Spirit of God to know truth. So we find, first of all, that there's an interpretation problem. At their foundation, they see the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses as all authority, and you cannot understand or exist as a Christian without that authority or organization. So the interpretation problem, secondly, there is the illumination problem. Now, the Russellites teach that they are given new light from God from time to time, and that they can change their doctrine based on new light. This is how they have explained the many changes throughout the years. Now let's go to the next article. The next one is from, again, The Watchtower, published March 1st, 1979, on page 24. Notice what they say. Things published were not perfect in the days of Charles Sage Russell. But this is their own founder, okay? They were not perfect, but, okay. First president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Now, nor were they perfect in the days of J.F. Rutherford, president number two, the succeeding president. The increasing light of God's Word, as well as the facts of history, have repeatedly required that adjustments of one kind or another be made down to the very present time. So, in other words, it's not saying that even to the present time now, adjustments can be made. But let us never forget that the motives of this slave, now remember, what is the slave? The organization, okay? Were always pure, unselfish, and at all times it has been well-meaning. So, in other words, they were just doing things, out of, sincerity, and they were well-meaning, and they were pure, perfect, without error, but yet there was errors that can be adjusted. So that doesn't make sense. But you see, what they contend for is that we can have new illuminations today from God. You see, and that's helpful because they refer to many of the prophecies. Remember, they predicted Armageddon. They predicted Rutherford, predicted the resurrection of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and built them a mansion. Well, that was convenient. Maybe we should start something like that, Say, hey, Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow. Let's, send me your money. That happens a lot, doesn't it? But we understand that the Christian faith, the body of truth, the doctrine was settled during the days of the apostles. Let's go to Jude, if you would. Let's look at Jude. I mentioned this last week as well. Notice Jude in verse number 3. Now, Jude here deals with the coming apostasy, the coming turning away from, if you would, the truth of the Word of God into a false religion. And notice what he says. He begins the book in verse 3 and he says this, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, that's the body of truth that we have, which was once delivered unto the saints. So notice, the body of truth that we have was once delivered. It does not evolve through the centuries. It does not change. It does not adapt. It's one body of truth that we have. And it was once delivered to the saints. And the Bible says we must not change it. We must contend for it, fight for it, hold dear to it. The Bible is complete and sufficient. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have everything we need in the Bible. We do not need new revelation. So we see that there is an interpretation problem. We also see that there's an illumination problem. But thirdly, we see that there's a translation problem. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Bible. This did not used to be. Their Bible is called the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. Here are some facts to know about their translation. And this is just a few facts, and we'll talk about some specific verses. It was published in 1961. So think about it, it's not even 100 years old. It is available in whole or in part in some 15 languages with plans to expand the translation into 30 more languages. Now what is interesting is that none of the five translators knew Hebrew and Greek. This is interesting. The main translator, Fred Franz, lied to a court in Edinburgh, Scotland in November of 1954 and said that he knew Hebrew, but then he failed a simple test in the Hebrew language. The New World Translation perverts every passage that deals with the deity of Christ. Now, you say, well, how is that fine? And it was funny because I was trying to look up, I have a Bible app with, you know, that I use and can find things quickly and cross-reference and things like that. And so I was like, well, let me see what the New World Translation says. And it was not even in there. There was a bunch of different versions and things like that. But the New World Translation was not there. In other words, it is only accepted by the Jehovah's Witnesses because people know that it's a gross perversion. We know that other translations have the wrong foundation, the wrong original text, but the Jehovah's Witnesses have completely made something up. We see, let's look at several references. Let's all turn to John 1:1. Let's look at some examples of areas where they have corrupted the Word of God, okay, because it didn't fit with their doctrine. Let's go to, everybody turn to John 1:1. All right. Could someone read the verse? Any volunteers this morning? All right, Ray, go ahead. Read the verse.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is referring to Jesus Christ. We know that he explains that later in John, the first chapter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There it is. The New World Translation says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a small g God. Now, I know that the translators did not know the Greek and Hebrew, but if they had just done a really Greek study of just one verse, okay, the article A is not in there, and theos is capitalized, which speaks of God, the deity. And so it's important to understand that it is an invention. Obviously, they cannot claim that Jesus is God, and so therefore they added the article A in there and changed the capitalized God to small g God. Okay? That is what the New World Translation says. Let's look at another reference. Let's go to Colossians 1, verse 15 through 17. All right, Colossians 1, 15 through 17. All right, anybody would like to read those verses? Volunteer this morning? Not all at once. I know it's exciting to read in public. All right, Brother Hap Ryan. All right, so Colossians, notice, chapter number 1, verse 15 through 17. I want you to follow along. Okay. Now I'm going to read to you the New World Translation. I want you to see how slick they are. And I want you to see if you can find which word has been added and how many times it's been added. Okay? I'm going to read the New World Translation. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because by means of him, all other things were created in the heavens and on the earth. The things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him. Also, he is before all other things, and by means of him, all other things were made to exist. Pardon the emphasis there. Everybody got it? What's the word? Other. How many times are defined? Four times. They added the word other four times. Why? Because it's very plain. We understand that Jesus Christ created all things. And so they have to throw a word in there to put enough doubt in the mind of man that Jesus Christ is not God. So he did not create all things. He created all other things. And they added that word four times. Not because their Greek studies dictate it, but because their doctrine dictates it. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Hebrews 1, 8. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Now we know that Hebrews chapter 1 is a wonderful passage of Scripture on Jesus Christ. One of the greatest evidence that Jesus is God. And I want you to notice here in Hebrews chapter 1, and let's just read that one verse, verse 8. Volunteer this morning? All right, Brother Wagner. Okay, so it's clear. What does he say to the Son? Thy throne, O God. So, I mean, you can't really work around that one. Now, the Jehovah's Witness Bible changes thy throne, O God, to God is your throne. It's not even the same thing. So it's a total manipulation there of the words. Let's go to one more. Let's go to Zechariah 12, verse 10. Zechariah 12, 10. And I'll ask a new volunteer this morning. Anybody? Zechariah 12, 10. I'm not playing a trick. It is in the Bible. All right? Yes, Wayne, go ahead. Okay, so do you see here? This is God speaking. And what does God say? God says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That's clear. God is speaking. He says, they shall look upon me. Jesus is God. Now, what they do is they changed it to this. They shall look upon the one they have pierced. You see, because they don't want to admit that Jehovah God died on the cross. You see, the Jehovah's Witness translation is a perversion produced by a convicted liar who is unqualified to translate the Bible. And so it's important when we think about Jehovah's Witness that often, you know, we must not get into the small debates about, well, you know, why did he pray to his father if he, you know, and they go into this, you know, they try to take you like through a logical route and things like that. We don't have to go through that. We just say, you have the wrong authority. You are a follower of Charles Taze Russell. You believe that the only people that can interpret the Bible is your organization. You have a perverted translation of the Word of God by men who didn't even not know the original language. You believe that now there is new illumination, and so we have settled the Word of God. You see, you cannot debate with someone that uses the wrong source of authority. You see, if their authority says that Jesus was a God, that's what they believe. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Now the problem is, and this is what I often do with them, is I say this, do you use the King James Bible? And they'll tell you yes. And this is what they'll say. Well, what we have today is a modern version that's easier to understand. That's what they'll say. And by the way, that's what most people say about modern versions. Well, it's just, no, that's not the case. There are doctrinal changes within those things. And so I take them down the path, and I says, and often they'll say, well, let's go to this other spot. I said, no, let's just stay here in John 1:1. And this is what I say. Why did you change the Bible? Simple question. Why did you change the Bible? You see, because now their foundation crumbles. You can talk about all the debates up there about, is Jesus God? Is he praying for his Father? Was he praying for himself? All those things is useless if you don't have the right authority. If you don't have the right foundation for your doctrine. And their foundation is corrupt. It came from a corrupt man, a corrupt organization, and a corrupt perversion of the Word of God. And so it's important to understand. And I marvel that so many, sometimes people have the idea that Jehovah's Witnesses are just like us. They're not just like us. They are attacking the deity of Christ. They have attacked the Word of God. And there are many other doctrines that we'll look at, the doctrine of hell and things like that, that we'll look at in the next week. And so this is a little bit of the history of the Jehovah's Witness. Next week we'll talk about the heresy of the Jehovah's Witness. And so let's stop right there.